A couple of years ago, when humans were allowed to see each other face to face, some work colleagues and I went to a conference together, which took place in a city quite a long drive north of here. And one evening, we decided to head into town together to find a place where we could have a drink and a good chat after a long day of what felt like just listening to geniuses. And as we began to scout various venues for this big night out together, we wandered into a pub whose name I can't remember. And not for the reason that some of you are thinking about right now. We did not consume a drop of alcohol there or any other beverage, because from the first moment we walked in, those of us who were a little bit more attuned to danger immediately sensed that we were surrounded by people who looked rather different from us, in that they all looked like they enjoyed murdering people more than chatting to them. It's amazing how humans can almost all sense when you've walked into a place you don't belong. Well, most humans. All except our friend Marie, who, not immediately clear on how close we were to becoming murder statistics, decided to walk up to the bar and ask if they had a garden out the back. Now, personally, I would have preferred not to have a tour of where our bodies were going to be buried, but Marie seemed interested. Fortunately, they didn't have a garden, and the rest of us were able to spot the opportunity to say, "Ah, oh, Marie, no, we really want to go somewhere that has a garden. Shall we keep looking?" Marie at that point seemed to sense that our sudden fascination with pub gardens may have indicated a desire not to stay. And that is why the staff team here at ABC is still alive here to tell you the story today. But here's the thing that really struck me about that incident. You know, the conference we were at was all about how we could create churches that were irresistible to people who don't normally go to church. And walking into that pub gave us a clear picture of what it might feel like for new people who walk into a church for the first time, only to immediately feel out of place, like they don't belong. Confused as to why, but also pretty afraid of staying in case something unpleasant happens. You know, within seconds, we knew that we were the odd ones out, that nobody had expected us to walk in, and that we had very little in common with the other people in the room. If you're watching our live stream for the first time, my name is Rob. And I hope you feel really welcome, that you've been enjoying the experience and you're finding the content of this live stream engaging and relevant to you. And we want you to know that we always expect new people and celebrate meeting them because everyone is welcome in our community. You don't have to believe the same things as us or behave the same way as us in order to belong here. We want to be the kind of church that everybody loves to attend, especially people who don't normally go to church. And we want to be that kind of church because we know that there are many churches out there who only seem to attract people who already share their beliefs. There are churches where you need to live like everyone else in order to feel like you belong. And we know how uncomfortable that sometimes feels and how irrelevant the things that you hear might seem to your life. I mean, most of the time, you probably don't even really know what they're talking about because the language people use in church can be weird. It can feel like you have nothing in common. You know, we believe that one of the key reasons that churches across the nation have seen a huge decline in membership and attendance over the last 20 years is that many churches seem out of touch with the modern culture in which they live, and the people therefore perceive Christianity to be irrelevant to their lives. But here at ABC, we believe that Jesus and his teaching will always be relevant to everyone everywhere in every possible situation, and that it's the church's job to communicate that in ways that reveal just how relevant he is. It's not the Christian message that's irrelevant, it's the church's outdated ways of explaining it that are the problem. And it is a big problem, folks. See, here are some statistics that demonstrate how many people have been leaving churches in the UK with no intention of returning. Between 1980 and 2015, church attendance across the UK was found to have dropped from 6.5 million people to 3 million. Now, in terms of percentages, I just want to give you an idea of what that's like. That's a drop from 11.8% of the UK population to 5% in just 25 years. And in England, that figure is even lower. It's only 4.7%. You know, sometimes it feels like the church in the UK is going backwards. And the question I have for us today is, are churches stuck in reverse? Or is it possible to turn things around, to make churches attractive again? Because for the people who attend, the content is understandable, relatable, relevant, and engaging. Today, I want to share with you a vision for a future where churches in the UK are growing and new churches are springing up to accommodate the rise in demand. I want to tell you that I believe that it's entirely possible and that you can be part of the change that's needed in order to make it happen. I want to be honest with you and tell you that it will require courage and sacrifice from those with the faith to believe God has a preferred future for us. And it will probably require us to let go of some of our preferred past in order to embrace the new things God is doing in this generation. And hey, if you're watching today and you aren't sure what to make of the Christian faith yet, I want to inspire you to keep exploring, because our faith is not a lost cause. But first, before I do any of this, I want to tell you a story of a time in the history of God's people when they found themselves to be in the minority, even in their own land. You can find the story in the book of Judges in the Old Testament part of the Bible. Judges is kind of a book that serves as a kind of catalogue of repeated errors made by our spiritual ancestors, warning us of what happens when we value other things more than we value God. And there's a repeated cycle of events throughout the book involving people's idolatry, and that leading to other nations invading them, and then times of oppression. And then finally, God raises up a hero to liberate them. And this happens and happens and happens again. And we're going to look at just one example in chapter 6 of the book of Judges. And we're told that the people of Israel had already been worshipping idols once again. And as a result of having walked away from God's plans, they had forfeited his protection and had been invaded by the Midianites. And the Midianites oppressed them so harshly that they hid themselves in caves and strongholds. They were vastly outnumbered and so impoverished by their invaders that they cried out to God for help. We pick up the story in verse 11 of chapter 6, just as God comes to speak to a hero named Gideon. This is what it says. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, before we continue, let's just clarify that the guy God is calling a mighty warrior is currently hiding himself and his meager portion of wheat in a winepress. This is the kind of thing I'm talking about. This is an ancient Israelite winepress. And you could kind of see them dug into the ground like a pit, like this. Sometimes they were dug into the side of a hill or even placed underground. Some of them were literally holes and caverns under the ground. They were a pretty good choice for Gideon's hiding place. So you might forgive him for thinking that God had confused him for someone else. It's not like he was filled with faith and ready to conquer his enemies in battle. In fact, his response is, "Pardon me, Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." You see, at this point in time, it's clear that Gideon had given up hope that the people of Israel could have their nation restored. Yet it is to this burnt-out believer that the Lord turns and speaks, saying, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all of the Midianites, leaving none alive." Now, I'd like to stop the story here for a moment, just to address the very obvious elephant in the room. This is a war story. It's not a manual for how to revitalize the church. And some of you right now might be getting slightly worried about what our vision for the future of the church is. So let me assure you, it isn't the Crusades again. It certainly isn't using violence to threaten people into converting to the same religion as you. That's barbaric. It's a story about the military invasion of a country and that people's fight back to regain their sovereignty. It really has very little to do with the church in decline in the UK, except for some of the attitudes that we see in this story. And that's where I think there is a common thread and some things for us to learn from. You see, the people of Israel were surrounded and outnumbered by enemies, and their continued existence was therefore viewed as a fight for survival. Gideon is found threshing his wheat in a winepress, trying to preserve the little that he has left from being taken away from him by enemies. And I think one of the reasons that many churches in the UK have declined so rapidly is that they have somehow adopted a similar worldview to Gideon. They have begun to think about the people who do not believe the same things as them as enemies who threaten the things that we hold dear as Christians. They've retreated into churches that became sanctuaries for people of faith, frightened that their heritage and traditions will be lost forever if they don't closely guard and defend them. They've started to believe that they are fighting a losing battle against secularization and that the people around them are intent on destroying them. Yet the reality is that most of the people who surround them are largely unaware of their presence in the community. They aren't out to get us. They don't think of us as enemies because they don't think about us at all. To the vast majority of people who don't go to church, we aren't a threat. We're just irrelevant. They're not looking to destroy us. They're not looking for us at all. And when they do stumble upon us, some of them are either met with suspicion and hostility, or they're welcomed in but accidentally made to feel out of place by the weird language we use or the unexplained traditions that we are all used to but can seem very strange to someone who's not accustomed to them. Let me just give you an example. If you've never been to church before, you'd never read the Bible, and the very first church service you attended was a communion service where we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, how do you think you would feel where the person at the front said something like, "Here is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Eat and drink of it, that you may live." You might as well say, "Cannibalism, anyone?" Or if you were told to stand up and sing a song that you'd never heard before that contains lyrics like this, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither to thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." You might well hear them say, "What's an Ebenezer? Why are you using words like hitherto or thy, which haven't been used in hundreds of years? Why do I need to be worried about getting home safely? Is there something dangerous about to happen here?" It's just gobbledygook to them, random ancient words and a sense of danger. So what am I saying? Am I saying that we shouldn't celebrate the Lord's Supper or sing old hymns? No, I am not saying that. But I am saying that if we're going to do these things, we should at least explain what they mean for people who haven't grown up with these traditions. But you won't do that if you're not expecting visitors, or if you're suspicious of people who live differently or believe different things to you, or worst of all, if you're so out of touch with the culture of the nation in which you live that you think these traditions are still so relevant for people in this generation that they don't require an explanation. You know, the more protective we are over what we have, the more unwilling we become to share it with others, and the more isolated and irrelevant we become to those that we exclude. That's the first attitude. But then there's our defeatist attitude too. So many churches seem to have accepted that they are in decline, that there's nothing they can do to change the situation. You know, when God spoke to Gideon, it was clear that he had all but given up hope. He felt like God had abandoned them, and he certainly wasn't feeling brave enough or strong enough to embrace the challenges that came with the difficult mission God had for him. But this was a man in real danger, surrounded by real enemies, and without a sense that God, his greatest ally, would be helping him. That's not the situation churches in the UK find themselves in today. We're not being heavily persecuted for our faith. We're surrounded by people in need of hope, not enemies. And surely we don't believe that God has abandoned us, and that's why the church is in decline. So why on earth would we believe that our mission is doomed to fail? If the mission we're on is God's mission, and if the Almighty is with us on that mission, who or what could ever stand against us? Why is it that when heroes of the faith like Gideon overcame their fears, obeyed God's call, and saw incredible miracles, do we give up so easily and settle for protecting what we have in a context that isn't even very hostile to us? Surely we have more faith and vision than that. Surely the churches in the UK are not stuck in reverse. You know, Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not be able to stop it. So why are churches retreating instead of reaching out? Here at ABC, we believe that God is calling us to his preferred future, not to hold on to our preferred past. We believe the decline in the UK church can be and is being reversed by churches who are willing to embrace the people around us. People who live in a modern culture which we need to understand and communicate well in. The message of Jesus is just as relevant as ever, but our methods of celebrating him and communicating about him may need significant updating. So we're calling for each and every one of us to be willing to step out of our comfort zones, to go wherever God wants us. And what better training could God have given us for this vision than to embrace the new challenges of this pandemic, which has changed just about everything we do and where we do it from. You know, the people all around us have been online for years, yet it seems to have taken an act of God to move us to start live streaming like this. It's not that we never planned to do it, we were just too busy doing the things the way we'd always preferred doing them. And that's how you become irrelevant. Praise God for not abandoning us to our old ways and allowing us to truly see the enormous opportunity that we have to become the kind of church that everybody loves to attend, even people who don't normally go to church. And if you're watching this live stream today and you wouldn't consider yourself religious, we want to be people that you still enjoy connecting with. We want to be people who live in the same world that you do and experience some of the same fears, frustrations, and problems that you do. And we want the things that we celebrate to inspire you too, and the things that we talk about to always feel relevant for your life. We probably won't always get that right, but we won't stop trying because we have a vision to become the kind of church that everybody loves to attend. We want you to experience what we have, that God is real and relevant for your life today. We wholeheartedly believe that our message of Jesus is good news, not just for us, but for you too. And we don't want to make you jump through any hoops in order to be like us. We'd far prefer that you encounter Jesus for yourself and choose to follow him, not our man-made traditions. And hey, if you're watching today and you're already a follower of Jesus, we want you to know exactly what kind of mission we believe God is calling us to pursue at this time. We believe God is calling us to reach out with love to the people in our communities, stepping out of our comfort zones of tradition and adjusting the way we worship so that others can join us without much difficulty. We believe God is calling us to renew churches who have been stuck in reverse so that we can renew our communities again with the good news of Jesus. And we believe God is calling us to use the resources God has blessed us with to make churches more accessible, engaging, relevant for the people around us. We have a vision for our church that will enable it to grow, both physically in the town of Andover, which we love and which we are for, but also further afield and online. You know, never before in human history has it been so easy to communicate with people without having to physically go to them or have them come to you. Never before have so many people spent so much of their time in one place, cyberspace. Never before has the technology for both personal and mass communication been so accessible to the church as it is in the internet age. And we have a vision to make the good news of Jesus and the stories of the wonders he has done in our lives easier to access than ever before. We've learned to improvise and adapt during changing circumstances, and we've been reminded again that the church is a community of people, not a building or a place. We see our future as a church that remains united, even if sometimes we're geographically separated. We see our community being both local and global, relevant again to the people of our nation, but also connected and helpful to people of every nation, because we know that God's ultimate plan for his people includes members of every tribe and nation on earth. Our vision is to become the kind of church that everybody loves to attend. Because we believe that Jesus broke down every relational barrier that we put between ourselves and God or our neighbors. And if Jesus tore our walls down, we need to do everything we can to ensure that we don't build them up again like the Israelites in Gideon's time. It will take a commitment from all of us to remain flexible and innovative, especially once lockdown ends. It will require us to keep working towards communicating in ways that are relevant, not just to established Christians, but to the new generation. It will require each of us to decide if we're in the business of protecting our precious traditions or reaching new people with the most precious thing that we have to offer, the good news of Jesus, communicated in ways that they can understand and relate to. That's the vision. That's the vision we believe God has for our church and all others committed to getting and staying unstuck. Is it your vision? Will you partner with us now and into whatever preferred future God is calling us to pursue? If you're not a regular on our live stream, will you join us again next Sunday as we continue to explore how the church can get and remain unstuck? This is your chance to take a next step of faith to join God in what he is doing globally and locally right where you are. And if you haven't already done so, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel now and continue on this exciting adventure online with us. Together, by God's grace and power, we can help our church and other churches in the UK get unstuck. Join us next Sunday to find out some more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're sorry for the way that sometimes we make church exclusive, that we sometimes, whether willingly or unwillingly, intentionally or by accident, exclude people by the language that we use or the attitudes that we adopt, which are not your attitudes, not your language. So Father, help us to speak hope into the nations that we speak to. And for every person listening today, may you fill them with a sense of hope that the Christian church is alive and active, even in places that people have counted it out and thought it's on its way to decline. We don't believe that, Lord. And we're trusting in you to lead us to your preferred future. Lord, help us to do whatever it takes to get there. In Jesus' precious name, amen.